Welcome back, guys. We covered a lot in that previous segment of everything, of a lot of things, actually. Not everything.
It's starting to get away from us for a second. It's starting to rant a little bit.
Yeah.
But it was good. I liked it. It was informative,
so,
in my opinion.
A lot of those things that we covered were more on our opinion based with some factual stuff for the pro-gun debate. And the reason why I think we brought them up was mostly for argumentative purposes of saying, if you want to use this as for a gun control debate on one side towards someone like me who is pro-gun, this is the information that you can use back towards them. For instance, if you want to use that, oh, there's been 254 mass shootings this year. Well, if you actually do the information for it, there hasn't been that many. That's a lie. There hasn't been that many if you actually take away the motive of those shooters. Oh, they also use the, oh, well, it's usually white people. This is the stereotype that the media gives. That's also a myth. If you want to use those mass shootings, you have to use all of them. And all of them are not based on the sense of why you want to take away. That's not going to do anything about the mass shooting issue that we have. Those are just cases that involved four or more shooters. You want to say, oh, it's because of the video games. This is the reason why it's not the video games.
I feel like there's no evidence to support that.
There's no evidence.
There's none.
Like, it's just...
I wouldn't even say it's just a coincidence. Like, that's just a ridiculous way to blame something.
And, well, and they've been doing this since, like, the early 2000s when Grand Theft Auto Vice City came out. They're wanting to say, oh, it's a violent video game. And they're just trying to put their finger on something with it. These were just trying to be myths that we covered of why those things don't apply to the conversation and the argument. But to be non-biased and cover it from someone who's on the gun control side, we did cover, well, why do you need a 30-round magazine? Okay, fine. We covered that.
That's fair.
Absolutely fair. The other one that people like to use is the Second Amendment, and that their 100% baseline is that it's my Second Amendment right to own a firearm. And I don't want to cover the stupid argument of, like, well, you're not allowed to own a nuclear warhead, so you shouldn't be allowed to own an AR. Like, that's
there's a difference between owning an AR-15 and a WMD.
Yeah.
A
Tomahawk missile.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's completely different.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to leave that out there. But this is an argument to use against that person that's saying it's because of my Second Amendment. The people who use the Second Amendment as their only reason are on the other end of this because, in my opinion, I feel like they just don't want to debate about it. They're like, it's 100% just my Second Amendment. They aren't using any statistics. They aren't willing to even see an issue that concerns their fellow citizens. And that's fine. If you only want to use the Second Amendment as your base with no other fact towards it, then that's fine. But that person better be aware, at least, of what the rest of the Constitution talks about. For instance, just the Bill of Rights. Everyone knows the First Amendment. It's your right to freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of press. You're allowed to say whatever you want. You're allowed to believe in whoever you want. You're allowed to write on social media whatever you want. Second Amendment gets to their point, and it's, I'm allowed to own a firearm for whatever reason. If it's for hunting, usually they like to throw in it's for the tyrannical government, you know. But the Third Amendment, why do we get lazy after the Third Amendment? Now, to you listening right now, do you even know your Third Amendment? This is the third one out of 10 that I'm going to talk about. Just the third one.
For those of you that don't know, I'm going to be honest with you, it took me a minute.
A lot of people, it takes a minute. Yeah, you're probably sitting there going, I don't know what it is. It's your right to not have to house soldiers during a time of war. This goes back to when the British were here. the British would just overtake a house in Virginia and just be like, guess what? We're taking this house right now. And you're gonna feed and give, you're gonna feed my soldiers and you're gonna give them a place. You don't have to do that. Your Fourth Amendment, your Fourth, Fifth, and Sixth, I know only because of my criminal justice degree. Your Fourth Amendment is due process. Your Fifth Amendment is the right to not self-incriminate yourself. And your Sixth Amendment is to a fair and speedy trial. But then we get to the Seventh Amendment. Zach, do you know what your Seventh Amendment is?
I feel attacked right now.
You feel attacked right now. Well, that's good. That's good. This is towards the people that, if you, like, you can't cherry pick your amendments.
Yeah, like, no, I do not.
If you're going to use these amendments, you gotta at least have the full effect of, like, I do know my constitutional rights. Like, you have to, in my opinion, I think you should be able to use all of it, and you can't just cherry pick an amendment. This is, I guess my bottom line is trying to say we can and we have reformed the Constitution to fit modern day needs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that we need to 100% throw out the Constitution and amendments. We just need to revamp them. It's been, what, 250 years since that Constitution was written?
Yeah, a lot of people try to make the, that I've heard, the argument with the whole Second Amendment that it was, the right to bear arms was more of like, yeah, but they were talking about like muskets.
Yeah, they didn't realize that we were going to be able to have control of 30-round magazines. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. So your Second Amendment states, In suits at common law where the value is controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved and not face tried by a jury, shall be otherwise reexamined in any courts of the U.S. than according to the rules of common law. Now, you can either take it for its definition, basically saying that if there's any dispute over $20, I can take you to court. $20 freaking dollars! I can take you to court.
Money back then.
But basically what it's saying is that you have a right to a trial of jury with your peers and cannot be punished without good cause.
Mm-hmm.
So next, your Eighth Amendment. No?
Mm-hmm.
No, nothing. It's cruel and unusual punishment.
Okay.
You don't have to have cruel and unusual punishment set against you if you are tried. Your Ninth Amendment basically just says just because a right isn't written down doesn't mean it's not a basic human right. It makes it so the government doesn't have complete and total dominance and can say, oh, well, it wasn't written down. Guess it isn't a right. Like, no, it's still a right. And and the 10th is powers not delegated to the U.S. government are given to the state itself, which is why, like, federally it is illegal to own marijuana. But in Colorado, in California, in Oregon, in like 13 states, 26 states, something, I don't know, you can, it's decriminalized now. The powers go to the states.
Okay.
So, and that's just your Bill of Rights. There's actually a lot of amendments out there. We've gone through the prohibition. One of the amendments is that alcohol is illegal. Later on down the line, the amendment says, never mind, it is legal. So,
just kidding.
So those are your amendments, and It's just saying that you can't cherry pick and that we can reform our Second Amendment. And we probably should. But I don't know. I think you do need to reform the Constitution Amendment.
I just don't trust people enough to make these changes for the betterment because, especially the way this world is now, it's like, you have to be careful with everything you do.
Well, you're also not going to, you're not going to please both sides.
That's the other thing. That's
whatever you write down as the new Constitution.
Nobody
people will still be unhappy because it does not. Now, it's we have these mass shootings, and you get these people that are like, "Oh, well, I don't even own a gun." It's like, okay, well, why are you bothered by it then? You're already doing, I guess, what you just feel as though it doesn't apply to you. Because you have never needed a weapon. And this is why I feel like politicians don't really know. Like, they're happy about this whole mass shooting thing. Because they don't care about gun rights. Because they themselves are protected by government organizations. And they can afford bodyguards to protect them. They never have to leave the house for groceries. They never have to go get fast food because they have a butler or a chef. They live in wealthy and safe neighborhoods that are in gated communities, who also have guards on shift with, guess what, high-powered rifles to protect them. The Second Amendment need not apply to them because they themselves don't need to use it. They will never be put in a situation where they would have to defend themselves in their own homes, in the parking lot of a McDonald's. And if they did, they would be reassuring that you, the citizen, cannot be trusted with a weapon that fires bullets. They would just, they just don't care about your Second Amendment because they never have to use their Second Amendment. Other people worry about that stuff for them. Mm-hmm. They are protected. But if you take them out of their political role and put them in just the daily life of a person that's at a 7-Eleven, and all of a sudden that 7-Eleven gets robbed, this person is like, yo, I got a gun. At least I can protect myself. Maybe not even having to use it. Maybe even just brandishing it is enough.
Yeah. I think it's hard for people up here to dictate the lives of people down here.
Yeah. The actual American citizen rather than the American politician.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just... So, okay. Fair enough, I guess. We get these mass shootings. And something does need to be done about these mass shootings. I mean, we've had the worst mass shooting in American history happen 2 years ago in 2017. Las Vegas, Nevada, Route 91.
Mm-hmm. I know people that were there.
58 people were killed with 546 injured. Wow. The dude was in the top of a Mandalay Bay, shot out the window, and just high ground. Mm-hmm. He took a week to prep for this and had been hiding the rifles in his golf bag, shipping weapons up to his room. I had a friend that was at that concert as well. There was one person from the town just barely south of me that was killed during that. It was a horrible crime. We've also, the first one that comes to people's mind that kind of set the chain reaction in motion is Columbine, where 15 people were killed and 24 were injured.
Mm-hmm.
The most recent shootings with El Paso, 22 people were killed, 24 were injured. And in Dayton, Ohio, 9 people were killed with 27 injured. And then you probably would say that this is the most horrific one is Sandy Hook, where 20 children were killed with 2 injured. Those, in my opinion, are your top 5 most major mass shootings that have happened within the 20 years that are extremely still relevant of why we should have some sort of gun reform. And I accept that debate. I accept that that is pure evidence that that right there is already close to 100 people dead and more than 600 people injured in just those 5 shootings alone. Okay, something needs to be done. I can absolutely rise up with you and agree that the government should be doing some sort of reform, not control, but reform on something. Let's do something about it. So the government decided to look at a few of these things, and they decided to come up with red flag laws, and they're trying to impose the TAPS Act. Now, red flag laws are basically saying, at this point, it's any family member or loved one can go to an official and say, my family member has this going on with them, a situation, whether it be mental or emotional, etc., and can go to these officials, and those officials will come to that person's doorstep, do an investigation real quick, take that person's guns, keep them for an extended period of time while an investigation occurs on that person. If that person is deemed innocent, then they will give them back their weapons. Not a threat, I should say, not innocent. If they do not impose a threat, then they will give them back their weapons. If they do, though, that person will then not have their weapons back until deemed not a threat. So they're kind of classifying this under a minority report. If you remember the movie with Tom Cruise,
yeah.
They were trying to predict futuristic murders and catching the murderer before he committed the act.
Mm.
So these red flag laws, my dad has manic depressive and paranoid schizophrenia. He's grown up with it his whole life. He takes medication for it. He's never been violent. Never once been to jail. He takes his medication. He's totally fine. But let's say I have a the reason why I have an issue with these red flag laws is, say, for instance, I grew up where I was not close to my father, and I have a dispute with my father, and I go, you know what? You know what'll piss him off? If I take his guns away. And I go down to the local sheriff, and I go, hey, my dad has these mental illnesses. He shouldn't have his guns. The sheriff will then go down and confiscate my father's guns with no due process, no Fourth Amendment, mm-hmm. no Sixth Amendment, no trial, and just take his guns. And then they go, yeah, dad, you have an issue. Yeah, you do have these mental issues. You know what? We're not going to give you back your guns. Now my dad's disarmed. Even though he's never imposed a violent act, he just has some mental issues. That's all. He takes medication. He's totally fine. Your TAPS Act, which stands for Threat Assessment Prevention and Safety Act, is taking it a step further where, do you remember back in like the early 2000s where the government would look at, they called it the Patriot Act? So it's basically now being applied again towards us, towards whatever you post on your social media. If someone, whoever is in control of that TAPS Act, goes through your social media and deems you quote unquote unstable, that instead of me going and telling the sheriff will then get a message from those people. The sheriff will come and show up on your door and then take your weapons. Strictly based off of some other person who doesn't even know you, just what you've shared, posted, tweeted on your social media accounts, they deem it, and they can have your guns revoked. And a lot of people think that this is an invasion of your First Amendment, your freedom of speech and freedom of press. That now you're limiting what I can post, because otherwise what if I'm a gun nut?
Let me try to play the other side here. I see what you're saying. Oh, it ruins my freedom of speech. I can't just say whatever I want. Yeah, but if you're saying things that are controversial enough to
deem a red flag.
Yeah, to even moderately bring a red flag up. I get it. Makes sense.
It makes sense. But now it comes down to, I have nothing to hide, so it need not apply to me. It applies to that person that's extremely racist,
yes,
on his
but or her. They don't know. That's the other thing that's hard. They don't know you have nothing to hide.
Right.
They don't know what's going on in your brain. They don't know what, like, you have planned. You know what I mean? That's the thing that's hard. Like, you don't know what's going on with people.
Right.
Like, some of these people, like, I think one of the guys that did the mass shootings lately was, like, nothing there. He was completely clean slate, everything. Like
the Dayton shooter.
Yeah, okay. That's
the El Paso man. Was he was extremely pro Trump, and he also followed KKK members. So I don't know how I feel about this, and the reason why is because it does not apply to me. I have nothing to hide on my social media.
It doesn't apply to most people.
Most people. So it is one of those that if you have nothing to hide, you shouldn't fear the government. But I also feel that where is the limit? If I post a video of me and my wife going out to the shooting range and I'm firing off a couple rounds, is that a sign? Obviously it'll come up, especially if I put in any keywords that are like shooting or gun range, bullets. What if I
AR-15
if I put in anything on that chair that all of a sudden is a keyword and they look it up, now all of a sudden I get put on a list. Well, in my opinion, once you get put on a list, you're there for a long time, because obviously you were put on that list for a reason. Mm-hmm. So if you get put on a list, is
not even a list, just like this guy's a bad person, just a list of like, we should watch this guy,
right?
No.
Well, now you're not even just looking into my social media. Perhaps you can go into my, you can go look at my credit score. You can go look at other stuff. Mm-hmm. You're going to do a severe background check, more than just on my social media. Mm-hmm. You're doing all of this without me knowing. You're just looking into me. And what if, so this leads into the next topic, is soldiers. So a lot of soldiers are pro-gun for the most part. I would say, especially, I would almost say 100% of people that are in the infantry, mm-hmm, are with it. So what happens? What happens, Davis, if you you get out of the infantry? You make it a career. Fine. You get out 20 years from now. You're at a bar. You get into a little bit of a tussle.
Shit pops off.
Yeah. Something happens. You get into a little bit of an assault. And it wasn't even your fault.
I'm just kidding.
It wasn't even your fault either. Yeah. It was just a violent assault, bar fight, okay? Mm-hmm. But then someone comes forth and says, oh, Davis probably has PTSD because he was in the Army. Let's take his guns. And now they're taking your gun, and they're accusing you of having post-traumatic stress disorder, even though you've never been proven to have it. And you're also disarming someone who is trained in...
More than most, yeah.
More than most with weapons. So this is also the issue as well, is that you're now making the government try to label mental cases without having them tried with their mental case.
That, and also I believe it would put a bad taste in people's mouths in terms of the military if that were to happen. Like, oh, these people are supposed to swear, like, these people have sworn an oath to protect our nation, you know, all enemies, foreign and domestic type thing, but yet we can't trust them with their own firearms. It's like,
right, and I agree that there is
that puts that throws another wrench into things.
Yeah, and there are soldiers who get out of the military who I feel as though shouldn't have weapons. I had a buddy who was in the Marines. He's a great guy, but he was the guy in the Marines that was the door breacher. He was the guy with the shotgun that would shoot the hinges off the door, and he was first man in. He only suffered from PTSD when he drank heavily. And he did have an altercation where he went out one day and he just started shooting his gun at the brick wall. We lived in the city, so this was an issue. He was arrested for it, but when he doesn't drink, give you the shirt off his back, he's completely nonviolent, 100%. If I never told you that story, you would never know that he had those issues. So I absolutely agree that there are people with PTSD, and perhaps those people that before they get out, they should be kind of conducted and been like, hey, we're going to take away your weapons until this is no longer an issue. I absolutely 100% agree. I just don't know if the TAPS Act and the red flag laws are the best means of trying to find out these people. I get it. You're trying to find the shooter before the shooting happens.
I think it's a good step in the right direction. Like, I'm not mad at it.
Yeah. So,
but like we've constantly been saying, and like it happens all the time, like I feel like there's just no one right answer.
Right. So then we'll go into, okay, fine, we're not going to do the red flag laws and the TAPS Act. Let's arm the teachers. Let's give them guns and shoot.
That was the most outrageous idea I've ever heard. That was outrageous. Anybody listening, or even you, Mike, how many teachers in your entire life, from
kindergarten
K through fucking your senior year of college, would you trust to have a firearm if something like were a school shooting incident were to go down? How many can you name, or can you even think of, that you would trust to defend your classroom and the students with a firearm?
These are not trained people. They would not be able to shoot a student if a student decided to go through.
No.
And these are people who I would have given the teachers a lot more respect if I saw that thing strapped on their side.
Yeah, even like, could you imagine 80-year-old Miss Smith or whoever the
hell? Yeah. She's given a 357 Magnum little hollow points.
This little old lady teaching, you know, social studies.
Yeah.
Bang, 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 bang. Oh, my gosh. All right, something's going down at the school.
Hold up, guys.
All right, hold on. Let me pull out this giant revolver.
And aim it at the door.
Oh, yeah, her hand shaking.
Yeah.
No, not a chance.
There's no... Well, and then
and it's... I understood. All right, yeah. Armed teachers. The idea is cool, I guess. But, like, I personally thought it was a terrible idea.
The idea is that
the concept's cool. The idea is terrible.
You already have a responder there before police can get. So you already have someone on the scene with a weapon. This kind of goes hand in hand with the only way to stop a bad guy with a gun is with a good guy with a gun. So you're already trying to have someone...
That's why cops are armed.
Yeah. And now at my high school, we didn't have this in elementary school. We didn't have this in middle school, but we did have this in high school. We did have a school resource officer. It was someone that worked for the police department who was an official instated officer with a weapon and all that stuff. And they would take shifts once a year. So this guy, as soon as school started, he was on shift. He worked at the school. And then once his year was up, they would put in a different school resource officer to do that shift. And it was really helpful. He bonded a lot with the students. I think I come from a severely Caucasian school. Southern Utah doesn't have a lot of... We have a lot of like Mexican and Hispanic heritage. But I think he also showed the brighter side of a cop. Cops aren't all bad. He bonded with a lot of the students to show, like, hey, I am someone you can trust, that if you have a legal issue at home or at school, you can come to me and I can help. He did have a gun. Of course, he is a police officer. But he was there in case there was a school shooting as well. He was also there if there were any fights, if anything was stolen. If any student needed to be taken to what we called ICYC, which is basically just the detention center. ICYC. It stood for something. I never went. But if there was drugs found on school, he was the officer that would go and basically arrest you. Now, I don't feel as though you need to arm the teachers. Not every staff of 60 needs because what
I feel like what you're saying, the whole, what did you call them, resource officers,
school resource officers, yeah,
I think that is a much better idea.
Absolutely. You do already have,
like,
a police officer,
even like somebody, I mean, okay, this is a little naive, I guess, but like a vet.
Sure,
dude, you know how to help
a volunteer who wants to,
yes, do some sort of training or some sort of thing where he has to swear an oath. Something to where he is, his actual job is to protect
the school.
The school. And not just like some random guy, hey, you have a gun? Yeah, go protect the school. No, not like that. Just like some sort of volunteer officer, like you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is a much better idea. Number one, you don't have to pay for all of these weapons that these teachers have to use.
Right.
It's just an outrageous idea.
To finish up this conversation, the reason why I don't think a school should have teachers armed is because I don't feel as though that these teachers have it in them that if there was a school...
No, they don't.
They would be able to shoot little Billy in eighth grade who's going around with his dad's shotgun shooting people. I don't think that they have it in them to also take a life. That's not what they signed up to be a teacher as. They do not have it to defend.
It's rational. It's fine.
And if they do shoot little Billy, they're going to be extremely mentally messed up afterwards. Being like, wow, I just had to kill someone because this guy
was... I had to kill one of my own students type thing.
Yeah. Like, they're not going to... That's going to be... It is traumatic. And then you're also being like, you're going to have to pay a lot of tax dollars to train every teacher in America to go through, to recognize a threat, gun safety. You're going to be teaching a lot of these teachers a lot of information that is going to... It's reasonable. It's not a reasonable action to do. Arming the teachers would fail significantly.
I get the idea.
Yeah.
But it's not rational. It's not. The whole one officer thing? Yeah, you have one guy that is skilled.
And the only con that I can see that people would use against this is saying, oh, well, my tax dollars are going towards a police officer that's not doing much. He actually does have other things that he does. It's not like he just sits at the desk 1 through 4th period not doing anything. Like, no, he still goes around and he does threat assessments. He does training. He does more things than just sitting there. Mm-hmm. It's not just a waste of tax dollars towards this guy. He's involved in the school still.
Not some, like, mall cop just hanging around.
Yeah. It's not that. Other than that, I don't see a lot of cons as far as schools go. Now, that's helping with the school mass shootings. This obviously does not apply towards places like Walmart. Because otherwise, you're just...
I think we also need to understand, it's like you can't be everywhere at all times.
You can't.
And it sucks, but that's just the name of the game.
Like, so should we just arm everyone? As soon as you turn 18... You're going to receive that gun in the mail, and that gun is yours to carry around everywhere that you go.
That's like, there's no one answer.
There's not.
There is. It's a really touchy subject.
Now, should we use as an example that gun reform, taking away guns, wouldn't work because, say, look at Chicago. Chicago is the number one city with gun reform. Adding different
problems. You're solving, you're like trying to cover up problems with other, I guess it's another problem.
Yeah.
You're taking away all these guns. Okay. People are still going to find a way to have guns. It's not going to be like, oh, there's no guns. Kit, we can't do this now. We can't break the law. No. You'll see all the time charges of people having illegal guns. Like in California, all the time, this illegal guy's guns. Arrested for illegal firearm that he's like not allowed to have.
Because people are going to break into the house and steal the weapons, and then those weapons are now involved in shootings.
That, or they're going to get weapons from somewhere else. Like, if someone wants to break the law in a certain way, they'll find a way to do it.
Right. It's not hard. The application for it is not hard. I think locking up your guns, I think maybe that should be. If you own more than two firearms, you need to have a gun safe. Whether it's even just a rifle and a pistol, and then let's say a shotgun. Your three basic: hunting rifle for hunting, pistol for self-defense, shotgun for bird hunting. If you own more than two weapons, you need to have a safe, no matter what. Those guns are now locked in a safe, secure spot with even trigger guards as well. So it's multiple safes and stuff. If you want to have that one handgun or that one gun ready at the available at the ready for home defense, fair enough. But all of your other guns need to be locked up in a safe. So that way, little Billy can't go and grab that gun. A burglar that breaks in can't grab that 2,000-pound safe and grab your guns. Like, your guns can't just be... I'm not saying guns are just lying around, but guns can easily just be put in a closet. Guns can just be put underneath the bed in their own little protection case, I guess you will, your gun case. They actually need to be in a vault, I think. And that's fair. Yes, are they expensive? Fine.
Make them
more affordable towards the American civilian. Make it a tax write-off.
Something, man. I don't know. Couldn't tell you.
It's difficult because I obviously don't have the answers for what needs to happen. I wish it was that easy, but it's not.
It's not. And we could have this conversation 100 times over, but it's a matter of whether... I don't even know where I'm going with this. We can just cut that out.
All right, we're going to take another break real quick, guys. I hope we still haven't lost you, and I hope that we're covering a lot of the bases. I know that this is a long episode. We're covering a lot of things in this gun control debate, which is why it's such a huge topic to discuss. Is there's so many bases to cover of this argument, because it just keeps going round and round. Mm-hmm. So we're going to take another quick break, guys. Thank you for listening. We'll be right back. Welcome back, guys. We are going to be concluding this episode. We've covered a lot of information. I know we have. Thank you for listening to this episode of Einstein and Drunk. And hopefully you were more educated on some of this stuff about gun reform. If you need any more information concerning any of these gun reform laws, here's just a couple of the websites and videos. Especially on YouTube, if you're one of those visual listeners, YouTube has an abundance of information for you to watch and listen to about facts and circumstances regarding mass shootings. But some of the ones that I highly recommend are Colin Noir's Gun Nuts on Real Time with Bill Maurer, Debunked Top 5 AR-15 Lies on Louder with Crowder. Like I said, TheFederalist.com. was where we got the information about machine guns and federal laws regarding them. That was written by Sean Davis. I also have procon.org, which discusses both the pros and the cons of everything from myths to statistics on gun reform. also on there, I highly suggest using gunviolencearchive.org as well. Like I said, that's where you can get any of the information regarding incidences, regarding the mass, the 254 mass shootings that have occurred this year. Anything on the internet, really, with as far as YouTube, this, all of these sources are really good information. You should be more knowledgeable about the issue that's happening. In conclusion, I think the people who are asking for the government to completely take away every gun, which some people are that extreme, they're wanting you to take away every single firearm, are the people who think that just because they're a citizen that's never used a gun and have never needed a gun, that means that every citizen must not need a gun. I'm talking about these people that live in the city that have never had any violent encounters needing a self-defense firearm. And that's a completely selfish and self-centered thing to think about. Like, perhaps maybe the reason to a severe extent that a tyrannical government hasn't tried to turn us into whatever they think is a perfect country, like Hitler or Saddam Hussein, I'm talking a complete dictatorship, is because those ignorant people that are yelling all these dumb things, right behind them is a group of armed citizens waiting for that dictator to feel froggy, and they just don't know that those armed citizens are behind them. Because if we think about the worst case scenario, a government that tries to become a totalitarian government, after you disarm the citizens, next comes your martial law, where they start imposing, they'll set a curfew in that they're going to start censoring what you can and can't put on social media and what you can and cannot say. They're like, that's because now you're not going to be able to defend yourself. At least the, you're not going to be able to defend yourself against, a squad of people. You're certainly at this point, if the government were to drive tanks down your, Phoenix, Arizona main street, you're not defending against a tank.
No.
But when they do have like the infantry police or infantry soldiers out there that are trying to encourage or enact this totalitarian government, your chances of defending yourself are at least a little bit higher when you do have weapons rather than when you don't have weapons. And so obviously I'm not saying that the government conspiracy of turning us into the Third Reich is there, but it, that's what the Second Amendment is about, is that's why people use that Second Amendment, is that it's meant to protect yourself from a government that has a different agenda than you think, that's putting a lot more trust into a government that would do more harm than good towards the average citizen. So Davis, anything to add before closing thoughts?
Just thanks for sticking with us. I know this was a long and there was a lot of meat and potatoes to this to this podcast. Usually our episodes aren't this long, but thanks for sticking with us. We're gonna try to maybe set up some sort of social media soon to where we can hear some feedback from you guys, or maybe get in touch, something to present some sort of interaction.
Absolutely.
Well, more on that later, but yeah, thanks.
Thank you guys, appreciate it. And like I said, Einstein and Drunk, you can follow us on Spotify, Google Podcast, Break.com, any of those places. If you did enjoy this episode, please give us a like so that we can, and share us, so that way we can continue to put out more content. If you either agree or disagree with our content, you know, it's appreciative that you guys still stuck around and listened.
Or give us ideas of what you want to hear us talk about.
Absolutely. So, thank you guys. Appreciate it.
See you guys.
If you're going to think, please think responsibly.